pray. Heavenly Father, grant that your kingdom come to us this morning. Amen. What is a kingdom? The suffix dom, D-O-M, is short for domain. It's an area, a realm, in which somebody has control. A king has control. So a kingdom might be described as an area over which a king rules. Now note two of the words here, area and rules. Take away the word area and earthly kings have no kingdom. Take away the word rule and they have no kingdom. Because the king is not being king, he's not kinging it over anybody. What about the kingdom of God? Thy kingdom. What are we talking about? The kingdom of Israel had a geographic area, was a geographic area. It had boundaries that embraced a specific territory. All the lands and all the people within those boundaries were under the authority and control and rule of the king. With the coming of the last of the kings, the last of the sons of David, with the right to sit upon the throne of Israel, with the coming of Jesus Christ, things changed. Jesus told the people, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." And to Pontius Pilate, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The realm over which and in which Jesus rules does not have geographic boundaries. To him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. The boundaries of nations and peoples do not hinder the rule of Christ. His realm is worldwide. No, it's universal wide. Now, not even that. Actually, he is far above all heavens. His rule extends throughout everything, visible and invisible. In one way, we can view his kingdom in terms of power. For Scripture says that God put all things under his feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave him, the head over all things, to the church. So here we see Christ ruling all things in the interest of, for the benefit of, for the good of his church, his people, us. Nothing can resist the power of God. His kingdom of power is absolute. So when Christians pray, "Thy kingdom come," they're asking God to rule over all things for their sake. And when they pray that with faith, they can have that confidence then that God is going to make everything work together for their good. However, of what value is this whole thought, if there are no Christians? The number of true Christians on this planet today is dwindling. For whose sake, then, will God be exercising his power? Therefore, when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying that God will exercise his power in such a way that it will make possible the exercise of his grace. The kingdom of grace is the domain in which God exercises his saving grace. This domain also is without boundaries. It is a spiritual realm. The gracious activity of God takes place in the hearts of men. So when God rules with grace, when Jesus rules with grace, people come to faith and are saved, and then you have Christians for whom God can exercise His power. Thy kingdom come. Father, exercise your grace over all the world so that people everywhere will be set apart from unbelief and adopted into your family. So it is said that the second petition is the mission petition. At the same time that we are praying for others, that God would reach out to them with His grace, we are asking for this kingdom of grace to come to us too. Only in this way can we continue in the faith which God has created. Only if He continues to rule in our hearts, then the good work which He has begun in us will continue throughout our lives. There's even more wrapped up in this petition. The gracious activity of God is always carried out in conjunction with the gospel. Without the atoning work of Jesus Christ, there would be no activity, no active kingdom of grace. It is by grace that God saved us through faith in Christ. God's grace moved Him to send His Son into this world to pay for our sins. God's grace moved Him to send the Holy Spirit to inspire the written word. God's grace moved Him to bring that word into our lives so that we may know, and so that we now believe that because of Jesus, all is well between us and God. So when we pray, Thy kingdom come, we are praying that the preaching of the gospel will continue among us, and as well as throughout the world. It will continue right here at Emmanuel, because only where that gospel is preached will people come to faith. Only when the gospel continues to be proclaimed will our faith be preserved until the kingdom of glory. And that finally is the culmination of the second petition, a prayer for the kingdom of glory to come. Then all in whose hearts God has been ruling by grace will leave this realm and enter into the realm of God's glory, and will share in that glory. And so we hear the final words of the Bible. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us rise and join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for the singing of Hymn 485, verse 2 and 7. 485, verses 2 and 7.